Hello, how are
How are
you?
you?
I'm great. Had a good
Was
holiday.
that hard?
No, I just had to hit a few extra things.
You had to hit a few extra things.
Yeah.
Oh. So it was more than one button.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right. I probably don't have all the apps I need on the phone.
Oh, okay. But now you are.
Yes.
Oh, good. Good. So we're recording.
Okay.
So tonight we were going to talk about the holidays. And I mentioned celebrating the holidays or dating in 2018. But and we can talk about that. But I was also thinking about I heard Elvis Duran on Z100 this morning talking about the holidays and talking about family and what it's like to celebrate the holidays and how people sometimes feel isolated this time of year and how family is not always defined by blood, but is defined by the people that we choose to have in our life. And I thought that that might be something that we could talk about as well, because, both of us, probably clinically speaking, have known someone that has felt isolated in the holiday season. And you, as you said the other day, have a huge family, and I have a family of friends here in Pennsylvania that I've created over the years that I celebrate the holidays with.
Yes, that's and again, just like you said, it's the family is what you make of it. And I think what it comes down to sometimes, at least clinically working, usually the people that feel isolated are sort of creating the situation themselves a lot of times. Like
Yeah, can you talk
they
louder?
okay, I'm sorry. They stay closed down. Or they don't push themselves to go out and socialize, or there is, even if they don't have immediate family, there are people around them that they could make their family, but something holds them back from doing that. Again, you said
Yeah,
I
I
have a
think
big
sometimes
family,
when
so I don't
people.
have I don't have room for when we get together at the holidays, there's no room anywhere.
Yeah.
To celebrate it several different places.
Yeah. And I've been adopted by my dear friend Stephanie and her family, and I do Christmas exchange with her family, and I do Christmas dinner with her family. And I love it. And it's, a mixed her brother and sister and their spouses and their children and her mom. And it's just I love being part of it, and it feels like family. And for all intents and purposes, it is family.
Yes, and it certainly makes the
Yeah.
holiday season more enjoyable.
Yeah. They welcome me, and they're happy that I'm there, and I'm happy to be there, and I help out in the kitchen, and I help her mom cook and clean and up after the meal, and I bring a dessert with me, and I don't care that I'm there alone. I don't feel awkward being there alone. I'm just there, and I'm part of
Right.
it.
You're part of it, right? That's why they make you feel part of it
Yeah.
and you're willing to be part of it.
Yeah.
There's
So it
organizations
doesn't
out
feel.
there that have volunteers that go out, or again, there's so many things, but you need to, the person themselves needs to get connected somehow.
Yeah.
Sometimes they need help in that connection, but I can imagine getting depressed and just sitting at home and actually the first couple of years when all our kids were out, our big thing is to celebrate Christmas Eve with us. And then Christmas Day is when they go all to their partners' families. And even then, it feels like, you have a big Christmas Eve night, and then Christmas Day is like, okay, what happened? All of a sudden, we're alone. There's nobody here. And doesn't bother me, but my partner, my wife, I now had a hard time dealing with that. Like, not to be, I guess, not to be selfish, but again, just feeling like the family's around us, but now it's Christmas Day and they're not here. So, you just got to find
Yeah.
some way to deal with that.
And I
But,
think that when people are clinically depressed, or when they have a life of, things happening, they might have paired the holidays. They over time they've paired the holidays with the things that have happened in their life, and it's hard for them to move into the holiday season seeing it as something that can be joyful because it's so deeply rooted and connected to all the things of pain for them.
exactly. And they start dreading it the closer it gets. They're already gearing up for their depression to increase.
Yeah. So if you're at the prison and you're working with somebody that you know is like struggling with the holidays coming, what do you tell them? Like what's something that you tell the people that you work with to help them deal with the holidays?
I tell them to focus on future holidays. Most of the people I deal with, luckily, will be getting out eventually. Not necessarily all of them, but kind of focus on reliving some past events if they had any significant happy ones. Many times they don't have anything. So sometimes you got to just start building from scratch about what you would like it to be and how you could start working towards that and come up with a plan for. As you're planning for future years, it helps you get through your current situation because you're actually still being active and, working on it rather than just settling in on the depression.
Yeah. And I know when I work with people, I try to help them come to a place of being okay with the things that they feel are connected to the holidays before the holidays arrive, in anticipation of the holidays being here, so that when the holidays arrive, they're not entrenched in it. Start seeing the holidays as being something attached to something else. Identify it being paired with something different than what was. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hard cycle to break though, especially if they've been in it for many years.
Yeah.
It could
Yeah.
be a tragedy that happened 10 years ago and now they've been dealing with it every holiday for 10 years. And
Right. Yeah. But I think it helps people to understand how that residual effect occurs because a lot of times people don't always recognize how that residual effect occurs. And I think that, when you teach them how that occurs and you allow them the opportunity to work on the individual item per se as a standalone thing and release the pain around it and see all the other things as separate and separate as is what?
It's really a process. Yeah.
Yeah.
It encompasses so many things because a lot of times they cling to those bad feelings because that's what they know and they're comfortable with and they expect, and sometimes they're so entrenched in that they feel like that's what they need to do. And it's
Well,
hard to
they haven't identified themselves or that time as in being anything else but that. Yeah. Yeah. So it's
So
hard for
sometimes
them.
it's working on closure of whatever it was that created the beginning of it sometimes helps.
Well, that's the thing, is sometimes people don't know how to get closure with something if they're not like talking to the person anymore, if the person's dead, or if the person moved away, or if the person's in jail, like it's hard for them to wrap their head around having closure with something if they don't have access to that person that they had that experience with. So I
Yeah,
think.
so again, yeah, they do journaling, letter writing, write a letter to the person, whatever it takes to at least start to get some sense of closure so they can finish that. The process is that they just haven't finished grieving yet. They haven't been able to cross that threshold where, yes, you can still remember the person and feel grief when you think about them, but it's, you're not in that grieving process, you're stuck in that process. You realize you're at a point where life goes on. And
Yeah.
sometimes they can't get to that point, or they haven't been able to get to that point.
And sometimes I don't think that people recognize it as being a grieving process per se. Especially if the person's still alive, they don't, people don't always understand it as being a process of letting of loss, So I think that part of our job is to help them understand, that this is no longer the way it once was. So therefore, it is a loss. So we can go through it and grieve it as if you were grieving someone if they had passed away.
Yes,
But on the other
and
hand, I think that it's also important for people to understand that, like you said, having closure. And I think that, sometimes people think of having closure is like having forgiveness or saying it's okay, and I think that it's really important for people to know that getting to a place of closure doesn't mean saying it's okay. It means that you figure out a way to be okay with something that's not okay a lot of times, because forgiveness doesn't mean saying what you did to me is okay. Forgiveness means, you come to a place of
Just
being okay with
accepting.
something that bad that happened.
Now, sometimes the age factor comes into it. I mean, I haven't worked with any yet, but I'm aware of, people that had small families to begin with and just outlive everybody, and there's no one there anymore. They're the only one left. There is, depending on, again, if they're at some kind of elder care facility, I mean, they may be able to make them their family, but at the same time, sometimes they're isolated in their own homes. And they're not involved in anything. And they're not even involved in any type of counseling. So that's a whole different story there.
Yeah, because there are people that can feel isolated in a room full of people. Even if they are in a family and they are with people, they sometimes feel isolated because they feel misunderstood, or they feel they don't, they're not accepted, or they're not meeting the standard that they're supposed to be meeting.
Even like you said, even in feel isolated even within the family because of could be something because of the way they're treated or just not being able to connect properly with a family member. Could be a brother or could be a parent, whatever. They've they make a lot of movies, comedies usually about going home for the holidays and all the friction and everything else.
Yeah, I understand friction and family.
Yeah, I think everybody does that has a family. Or either that or they're in denial.
I remember early on when my own father decided that he wasn't going to talk to anyone.
Oh, that
But
was tough.
yeah, that was back in 1996.
Yeah. Has things changed?
No, he hasn't talked to anyone, me, my brother, or my sister, since 1996.
Wow.
He's not met my children. He didn't come to my wedding. He's not participated in my life since then. So he's alive, I guess. I don't even know. But I've officially grieved the loss of him when I attended his father's funeral and he didn't come.
Yeah, it
So,
had to be difficult though at the peak at first. It had to
what?
be an issue. It had to be an issue at first for you till you got to that
Yeah.
point of
Yeah.
accepting.
It was hard. It was really hard. I didn't understand. I was angry and sad. And then I came to a place of thinking, you know what? He's living his life. He's going on. He's doing him. He's not, this isn't getting in his way of living. And I'm not, he's my dad and I loved him, but I'm not gonna let him get in the way of me living my life. Not gonna stop living my life because he's not choosing to be part of mine. And I
And yeah,
had to make that
that's
choice.
exactly. That's the choice that everybody has to make. That's where, the acceptance comes in. Like you said, you got to realize that whatever's causing your pain, either they're past, so there's nothing that can be done, or, they're off living their life and they're probably not suffering at all from it. So, you got to get to the point where you're going to do you, like you said, and not like stay bogged down.
Yeah. I mean, I know at the end of the day that I invited him to my wedding and he chose not to come. And I know that I invited him to be part of my oldest daughter's life and said, you know, like, whatever you have animosity about me for, you don't know this person. She's a new person. There's nothing between you and her. There's an opportunity for you to have a relationship with her, get to know her, be part of her life. But if you could look into her eyes and she's not to be part of her life, then I'm not sure I know who you are anymore.
Yeah.
And he chose to not partake in her life. So I was like, well, there's not much more I can do. Much more I can do. No, so
Lot of times that's what it comes down to. Do what you're able to do, and that's where you got to realize it has to end. You can only do so much.
yeah. And you know, so when I think about clients that I've helped, you know, deal with the holidays or deal with family and animosity or hardship or, you know, family just doing weird things that doesn't make sense, you know. I feel like I get them. I feel like I understand, you know, what they're talking about.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's hard for them to understand that somebody else can understand what they're going through. Like a lot of times people aren't able to express themselves because they feel like, well, you're not in my shoes, but you don't have to experience the exact same thing. I mean, emotions are emotions. Everybody's experienced depression and anger and, all those emotions that hold us back. So it's not necessarily about the incident that you need to identify with specifically. We can all identify with the same feelings that feelings haven't changed, since humanity's been on the earth, that we all experience the same type of feelings. So
Yeah. I also try to make sure that I recognize that everyone is different, you know, however they experience their experiences is how they experience their experiences, and be respectful of that. You know, I don't know what their emotional response was to the experiences that they had, nor can I expect them to manage or respond to their situation as I did. But I know that, you know, because I had, you know, situations with my own family that, you know, somebody may look at me and not think that I had those experiences with my family, you know, like that, but I did, I do, you know, you know, I feel like I can lend some strength to someone and help them feel empowered and move away. Ouch. Oh Lord. Oh God. Okay, sorry, I just hurt my shoulder really bad.
Trying to handle your dog?
No, I just
Oh.
was trying to handle an 11-foot Christmas tree yesterday and I hurt my shoulder. Ow. Okay, sorry. I feel like I can lend them my strength and, you know, try to move, help them be moved to a place of feeling empowered and, you know that they can be okay in a situation that's not okay, you know.
Right. Again, but they have to be willing to open up and share and get that help. I think that's the problem a lot for some is they're not getting the help because nobody knows they're there. They're the invisible unknown factor.
Well, and I think that lots of people know that people are there, but I think that people feel like they're invisible. You know? You agree?
But again,
Yeah.
it's well, I think, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I just mean they somebody has to reach out for help. Nobody's going to come find them. They have to, a lot of times, they think that something needs to change, but that th something that needs to change isn't outside of themselves, it's inside themselves. I think they approach it as well, something else outside of them has to change to make things better or different.
Right. So what you're saying is that it's not an external environmental thing that needs to be different, but it's something internal inside of the person that needs to move to be something different in order
Right.
for their world to be different.
Yes, they gotta find that new perspective.
Well, that, yeah. And I think that that's why, and I think we agree upon this, is that, you know, like people have to own that something needs to be changed in order for there to be movement. You know, the first step in creating change is owning that something has to change.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So, and you can't change the people around you, you can only change you and how you respond to the things that go on around you.
Yep, that's the big thing that has to, they have to agree to first or have to be aware of.
I know for myself, not being a Berks Countyan, but now living in Berks County, I find that lots of people in this county have a really difficult time with confrontation, you know, and especially during the holiday season, people don't want to have any kind of confrontation and they go along with things and they say yes to things and they don't use their words and don't use their voice because they don't want to upset anyone's tail feathers and they don't want to upset the egg carton because they're afraid they're going to be rejected or someone's going to be mad or somebody's going to be upset with them or unhappy. But in
Right.
inside, they're not happy themselves.
Yeah. And doing that, they're building resentments building inside them towards the same people that they're trying not to upset.
Right, they have their own internal resentments towards the people then.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because a part of that goes from, you know, that person should know that they're upset or know what's going on, like by osmosis.
Right. Yes, everybody's a mind reader, or should be.
But no one has osmosis.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
So.
well, that's one thing. I mean, just as an example in relationships, I mean, the big thing with my wife and I for years, we've married forever. And it's always, I can tell when she's angry with me. And my question is, oh, what did I do wrong? Well, if you don't know, I'm not telling you. For a couple of years, that used to be a real battle point because that would create confrontation. But now I've gotten to the point where, well, okay, that's where she's coming from. I can't do anything about it. So, I just move on.
Right. Yeah. But that's it. You're right. You're right. And we move far away from the holidays here, but you're right. And I see that a lot when I do couples counseling is that, like people like you and Don who have been together forever, they come to a place of because you've been with me for so long, you should know what I'm thinking. You should know what I'm feeling. You should know when I move my lip to the left and my eye to the right that it means this, or I'm thinking this or feeling that, but you don't know.
Exactly.
And we,
So I mean
and
to
I think
stray
couples,
back in holidays too.
what?
I said I didn't mean to stray from the holidays, but that's something that can happen during holiday events as well.
Oh no. I'm not mad that we got away from the holidays. I'm just saying we moved away
Yeah.
from the holidays. But yeah, I mean, couples that have been together for a really long time tend to get complacent and stop using their words and start assuming that somebody's going to know what they're thinking and feeling. And, that can cause a lot of interpersonal conflict during the holidays if somebody's not using their words and anticipating somebody knowing what they're thinking, what they're feeling, what they're needing, and the person gets it wrong or reads the signs wrong or doesn't pick up on the cues,
Right.
and that can add a lot of stress to the holidays because you're now mad at somebody for not doing these things when you could have very nicely just used your words and assertively spoken your mind to say what you think, what you feel, and what you need. And cut to the chase and avoid the interpersonal conflict.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't
So.
know how much time we have left, but you also mentioned about the struggle with being single at the holidays.
Yes. Bah humbug.
I think that's something that's, been an issue over generations, but I think it's probably more difficult now than ever just because of social media and just think people share too much and or more people know what's going on with somebody else or not going on with somebody else than back in the day, back in my day, when it was more of a just an immediate family thing, even though that could put pressure on it from family members saying something wrong or something, or how come you don't have anybody or whatever, and putting pressure on the person. But now it's like I quadrupled the pressure, I think, with social media and comments from people that one thing I found funny, while working at the prison, sometimes we ask, how many friends they have, or, and they, some people might answer like 300. Say what? I say, yeah, I have 300 friends on Facebook, and it's hard for them to realize that they're not necessarily really friends. They're not anybody they established a relationship other than, liking some things they post or whatever. But that certainly doesn't make a relationship.
I feel like Facebook is a representation of a collection of people that we've, crossed paths with through many facets of our life, I think Facebook and the people that we're friends with are a representation of all the different hats we wear and all the different things that we've been part of over the course of our life. where we've
Yes.
created relationships or friendships or associates or established a connection through similar interests and things, but you're right. People usually put their best foot forward on social media. So during the holiday season, there's lots of things of joy and happiness and all the wonderful things that are happening. And being single in the holidays, and everyone has a relationship, it's a reminder that you're single. When you think about the combination of family and being single, if you stay caught up in the social media, that can create a certain level of sadness or disheartenment, because, if you're caught in between not having either, you can
Right.
end up feeling alone.
Yes, everything you look at's almost a reminder that you're not the same as them, or they're better off because of what they're posting or whatever, or what they're showing, and you can't do that.
Right. And if you don't have the family to go home to for the holidays, or the family, surrounding the Christmas tree at the holidays, you don't have, the significant other, daunting over you at the holidays, your life is different.
Right.
So, but
And again, I
life is
think.
what we make it. And as we said earlier, family doesn't necessarily need to be blood. Family can be friends. And, family can be our own children and they own our own intermediate family circle. So the moments and the memories and the time that we share with the people that we do care about, whether they are significant others or whether they are children or whether they are, deep, close, very good friends, then that's what matters.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even a pet, they can help
Oh, yeah.
fill a void.
Sammy, who's sleeping and not eating my clothes.
Now I'm sure he's still full on mine.
No, he's sleeping, so he's good. But,
See, just like your own children, when they're sleeping, they're angels.
oh, they're angels all the time.
Okay.
But, yeah, so, yeah, so I, that's for me, that's what I try to focus on. I try not to focus on, any dysfunction in my family of origin, but I focus on the good that's in, the family that I choose to be with and the holidays and my
Right.
children. And
And again, working in the prison, that's kind of what I get them to focus on is, I mean, everybody has something in their life they can be thankful for. Don't focus on the things that you don't have. Focus on the things that you do have.
yeah.
Even if it just comes down to the fact that you're alive today, there's a lot of people that didn't wake up today.
Right.
Depending on your situation, sometimes you have a little bit more that you can focus on. Sometimes there really is hardly, sometimes it's hard to search for something to focus on that they're thankful for. But again, that's where I gear them towards looking at what you can be thankful for rather than what you don't have.
Yeah. I mean, I think that this whole season is a season of gratitude, and I think that sometimes people get upset or concerned about, finances and not having enough money to get everything that they want to get for the holidays. But, another way to look at it is, you can be thankful for the things that you can do, thankful for the fact that you can be with people that you're here, that you can share it, that you can make memories.
And another avenue that someone that would be suffering could approach it from would be to motivate them to go out and volunteer during the holiday season. I mean, there's lots of places that appreciate help or that you can visit or find something to do. And when you give back to the community, you get a lot, you get more back than you give. I mean, once you get into it and
Yeah.
get over that struggle of not wanting to do that, once you get into it, it can be very fulfilling and again, create the family you're looking for.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Getting back, giving back to the community and getting, being around people to realize that what your situation is may not be what the other person's situation is. It helps you put things in perspective for yourself and remain humble. Keep appreciating and having gratitude for the things that you do have. Definitely ways that people can recharge themselves during the holiday and recharge their focus of being single or being without family of origin.
Right. And again, just that word recharge generates something like a boost of energy or realizing that, I mean, when you feel depressed, you're just drained. But again, doing something to recharge it yourself is again finding something there that gives you an energy boost, like I say, getting involved in something, volunteer work, anything, doing something in the community. Whatever, if you don't have family members or anything like that.
Yeah, which brings me to want to say that, this will be our first broadcasted podcast under the new name. We've decided to rename our podcast. We're no longer going to be called Lighten Your Load with Colleen and Al. We're going to be calling our podcast Recharge Your Life, and still with Colleen and Al. But we're going to make sure that while talking about whatever subject that we talk about, that we're going to give you guys tips on how you can recharge your life in that area. So again, focusing today on how you can recharge your life for the holidays or during the holidays, in relationships during the holidays, if you find yourself single or without family. Hoping that this will help you take steps to recharge your life and not feel alone and not feel like you're, sad because you can't be connected to a family of origin, but hopefully inspire you to find a group of people that you can feel connected to and be with, whether it's friends or volunteering in your local community. To give back, to be part of sharing your special self with the people that need you. So you can end the holiday season with a smile on your face. And remember, it's, get through the holidays with less interpersonal conflict. Use your voice, use your words, speak your mind. You'll have less interpersonal conflict and less resentment, less residual effect of emotions building up over time as a result of it. And in the end, you'll be happier and lighter for sure. So, what do you think, Al?
Yeah, and also just to let everybody know, the plan is to have some guests on that have done the things that we're talking about, that were able to recharge their life, that overcame a tragedy or a difficult situation, and they'll be
Yeah.
sharing how they did it. And if anybody that's listening has a specific area or something they want to address, or even a question, it can just be anonymous. Is there a way they can get in touch with us, or can I give an email
Yeah,
address? Or
they can email us at rechargeyourlife@hotmail.com, and send us an email there, and we can refer to the email. Read the email or make a comment of it. We can take topic requests or guest requests that way. And if anyone needs any additional help with any area that we talk about, whether it's communication, interpersonal conflict, regulating your emotion, managing stress during the holidays, or working through the trauma that you've paired the holidays with and reframing your mind to, be in a better place to enjoy the holidays, or communicating with your spouse or significant other, or, going through the holidays single, or with discord in your family of origin, or, your immediate family. Please reach out, Colleen, at Recharge Your Life, and I would love to help you move to a different place through some counseling or clinical coaching, and help you be the best version of you, even when things seem really tough. So.
All right. I'm out of words.
Okay, so until next time, this is Colleen and Al signing off, and we hope you had an enjoyable time this evening, and we look forward to you listening to the podcast again soon and coming at you.
All
So
right.
take
See you all
care.
soon. Bye.
Bye, Al.
Bye.